Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, divine queens, light worker women of the new earth rising. In case you didn't know, this is who we're talking to on the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. And if you are not new, you already know that. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so happy to have you. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, and on this podcast, which is basically the biggest blessing of my life, not only because of all the beautiful listeners from across the world, this community that dials in week to week to listen, but of course, blessed because of the incredible women and men that I get to interview here in my home studio in Nashville and bring these epic activations, or not even conversations, or activations to all of you, and they become part of my life, my upgrades, my own personal growth. And today's conversation is that on steroids. Before I get into who I'm chatting with today, and you're going to trust me on this one, want to take notes. Many of us listen to our podcast. I certainly do while I'm getting ready for the day or driving in my car or taking a walk. But if you can, if you have the ability to get out a pen and paper, maybe even open up your computer, take notes, open up your phone app, write shit down today, because today is a very tactical masterclass on how to go viral on social media. And I just want to say that there has been a long period of my life where I wanted, you know, so desperately to go viral. And a couple of my posts have, and I've definitely grown thousands and thousands and thousands of followers from doing so, which has impacted my business, of course. But I find it to be a beautiful blend of obviously strategy, which my incredible guest today is going to walk you through and how to really crack the code, but also just when I'm in alignment and coming from a place of being myself and not really giving a shit. Isn't that funny how that works? And I'm just in this state of really noticing when I'm in alignment and when I'm not in alignment. And, you know, I talk so much on this podcast. If you're, you know, new here, welcome. Like I said, if you're not new, you know that this is the podcast where we break down all of the business tools, how to maximize your personal brand, how to grow a business that scales in revenue while you scale in ease, and that those two things, being a hustler, a boss babe, somebody that makes moves, makes money, loves what they do, works their ass off, but does it from a vibration of alignment and purpose and trust. And that's the spiritual side of this show, where we crack into all of the magic that exists within this reality and beyond it when it comes to the quantum, when it comes to the divine, when it comes to our relationship with spirit. And when we really do that work, that inner work, we become so much more magnetic externally, and it becomes easy. It really does. And I was just waking up this morning journaling on how yesterday felt so truly like yin yang, like the so much polarity yesterday during the day. I was heavy. I was stressed out. I was tired. I was cranky. I was picking up on little things that annoyed me because I just wasn't really working my practices, like my meditation, my gratitude, moving my body. I just kind of woke up and started the day. And in the evening, I met up with some friends, and we actually went to this amazing Moe's concert with Cacao and beautiful community. And I just fucking danced my ass off and was home way later than I would have ever wanted to be. It was a Wednesday night, and I just woke up this morning really clear that we have such agency over our state and that we can choose to get present, drop in heart to heart with people that move our souls, that make us feel safe, to dance, to move our bodies, to move energy. And whether that's a quick shimmy in the morning that you do as you're getting ready, or you take a quick walk outside just to breathe fresh air, or pause what you're doing in a state of dysregulation and really, truly count your blessings. Like, all of it really does make such a huge difference and empowers us and reminds us of our sovereignty, and that life is going to go up and down, just like our engagement on social media. And we have total control over how we respond to all of it. Just wanted to leave that there. We also have total control over how we relate to social media at large. I think social media is a place where a lot of us get activated. A lot of us feel disempowered, disinterested at times, because we're up against this like machine of an algorithm of billions and billions and billions of people fighting for attention and drowning in this projection field of what everyone else is doing and how everyone else is doing it and comparing ourselves. And my guest today, I'm sorry, is here to say in her own right, I'll say this for her, she doesn't really say this on the podcast, like, fuck that. Social media is like the best place to play. It is an unlimited universe of expansion, connection, abundance, opportunity. And Adley Kinsman, who not only is one of my greatest teachers, she has become a soul sister here in Nashville. She's based here, and that's how we got to know each other. And the girl is on fire. She is by far the biggest bona fide expert in social media virality, and she just so happens to be a woman at the top of this space, which makes her even more fucking amazing and inspiring to all of us, and is really coming on today to give you guys her codes. Like, she's going to break down how she reaches over a billion views a month. Okay, she's one of the most viewed female producers, content creators, content suppliers in Facebook history. She's the CEO and founder of a company called Viralish, a creator collective helping brands, major Fortune 500 brands, and creators just like you and me integrate themselves into viral communities at scale. She's become one of the most sought after experts in branded content distribution, designing campaigns for companies like Land Rover and TikTok and Charmin and Airheads and Frito-Lay and David's Bridal and so much more. She's been seen on stages for AdWorld, ManyChat, Russell Brunson, social media marketing world. She's traveling all over the planet. Literally, she was just in Dubai speaking on this. She's in Miami. She's all over the country. She is one of the most in-demand entrepreneurs of the times right now. She's been around for a minute, but she's kind of in the pocket as of this moment. Everybody wants to work with Adley. Everyone wants to learn from Adley. She just happens to be one of the most down-to-earth human beings ever who is here to say, let's really create right relationship with social media. Let's understand the potentiality when we step out into the light with strategy, with tactic, with a deep understanding of how these channels work, but to ultimately share who we are, to not try and fit into anyone else's box, even though we're following some strategies. The magic is, honestly, you guys, letting go of what people fucking think of you, having fun, being yourself, not just playing the game, but playing. And I just cannot tell you how impactful this conversation was for me. I know that this is a conversation that's going to change your perspective, give you something completely new to think about when it comes to your relationship with social media. I will tell you guys that I actually had a very complicated relationship with social for most of my career, even though I was in it. I was running a personal branding agency. Before that, I started a magazine online that required me to be on social to market my business. Today, I am my personal brand. I am the business. And there was a long stretch. I kind of went in and out where I really didn't like it. It felt heavy. It was a job. It felt like a chore. I thought it was this complete comparisonitis bullshit, and I was getting stuck in it. And it wasn't until the last year and a half, truly, in the last year and a half to 2 years, that I finally cracked my own code of how amazing it is. what an incredible unlimited place it is to connect with all of you, the women listening, these beautiful human beings on the other side of their phone across the fucking world. And as soon as I clicked into the celebration of that, the joy of it, the fun of it, and got my messaging and strategy right, my business scaled faster than I could have ever predicted. But so did my fulfillment and my ease and peace within it. And that's really my invitation to you listening to this podcast. Adley's going to break down the masterful expert codes that she has that I don't. But let this episode please be an invitation to step out into the light, not take yourself so seriously, have fun, and watch just how fast the universe meets you there and gives you all of the reward and the abundance and the connection and the impact that I know each and every one of you are here to create and to make. And so I could keep talking, but this episode isn't about me. This is all Adley. She is a queen. So buckle up, get out your notes, and get ready for one of the most inspirational conversations and educational conversations I've ever had on the podcast. All right, spiritual hustlers, let's go. Welcome to my podcast, Ad. Can I call you Ad?
Of course.
Adley. Yeah. Okay, babe. People call you Ad because that's what I'm going to call you.
Perfect.
I'm so happy you're in my presence.
I'm honored to be.
It's a present. It's so fun to meet a friend that you have just such deep mutual boss babe respect for.
Instantly, too.
Yeah.
It was within 5 seconds. And doesn't it go like that when you meet somebody? You're like, that's my girl.
That's my girl. And then I saw you at your house a couple weeks later. Because I think I came in, I met you with a teammate, and then you had that a big content influencer party at your house.
Yes.
And you were on stage. We're just going to get right into this. You were on stage with a bunch of guys because, you had a former intern that's now a major TikTok star and these other dudes that run massive influencer agencies. And you were up there holding fucking court. I was like, she's a boss. She's a queen. I remember I came up to you at the end of the night. I was like, you're a queen. I see you. And you said something. I want to go back to that moment, that stage, because when you were up there on that panel. And you said something that really was quite provocative and stayed with me. And I want to start here with that. You had a conversation yourself when you were younger or kind of more growing your platform in the early days. I think you said you had like 100,000 followers or 200,000 followers or something. And you were talking to a mentor or someone older than you in the space. And you're like, well, my personal brand, this is off brand for me. And he looked at you and he was like, you have 200,000 followers. Who gives a fuck about your personal brand?
Because you don't have
one. You don't have one. And I ran a personal branding agency and part of me was like, oh, am I offended? Am I mad? Or am I actually completely activated by that? And I want you to explain what you meant, what he meant, and how you've adopted that to show up the way you do and coach all these incredible content creators you do now.
Oh, totally. When I first had 200,000 followers and I cared so much about my personal brand, and then he said, you have 200,000 followers, you don't have a personal brand. I reacted the exact same way. It's like your defenses go up a little bit because you worked really hard for that. And you're caring about yourself and the way that you maneuver and show up in the world and the way that you serve. But it activated me.
Yeah.
Just like you said, to where I was like, he's saying something wise right now underneath the offensiveness that is just my ego.
Yeah, exactly. It bruised my ego sitting at your house. Yes. I was like,
he goes, it is what will keep you small is this ego. And this is your personal brand. He goes, you are your personal brand. It is just a placement, what you're talking about right now. He goes, Adley, you can go be in any video and your energy is going to make it different. That is who you are. It is your energy and it can show up in any form or any placement ever, and then it becomes your brand. It's just you in different places. He goes, if you go wide, if you serve the world, go as wide as you possibly can with entertainment, then you can niche down and do whatever the heck you want, but you're going to have a lot more options. And something in that sentence clicked for me. And I was like, okay, let's do the opposite of what everybody else is saying to do, which is niche down, talk direct to your avatar. And I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody because I'm not everybody.
Yeah.
But it did work for me.
Yeah. Let's talk about how that worked out for you. Because you are killing the game. I mean, really. And it's the hustle and the heart as much as it is the savvy spirit that you bring. You're very talented at content creation, but you have cracked the code on the space, I feel, of social. And I know your story, but you were on The Voice, you were kind of musician, artist life, and then you kind of stumbled into this space accidentally. And I would love for you to kind of just quickly tie the dot between when you started and that chicken video.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Okay. Because everybody that's listening to this, you are just one video away from your life completely changing. One, for me, it was a chicken video. It was putting my chickens in a bathtub. And my back had to be against the wall for my authenticity to show through. And so that is my biggest message and my personal and business why still today.
Yes.
Is encouraging people to have their confidence in their own authenticity and their own abilities. Because if I look at the golden thread of my life and every breakthrough that I've had, it was when my raw authenticity, which is such a buzzword now, but transparency and vulnerability came through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So at first I was bankrupt and I was just coming off The Voice and I was waiting for permission from a suit behind a desk to tell me if, where, and how I could entertain. And I played the game for a little bit and then I was like, I know I'm born to entertain. And I don't want to wait for this person who maybe had Cheerios instead of oatmeal that day and now they don't like my song. I waited 2 years to get in front of them to have this meeting for, you know?
So true. That's that industry.
That's about the time I discovered videos and I was trying to learn how to make comedy videos for this meme page that gave me a shot. And so I was having to turn around these 60-second videos and I was just looking to Vine and trying to learn this muscle. And so I was just doing what everybody else was doing to try to learn it. And every video was tanking. And it came across so inauthentic because it was that one night all my footage was corrupt. It's 1 a.m. I've got to have something turned in by 6 a.m. every day for publishing at 7.
Wow.
And I take the little SD card and I put it in the computer. It's all corrupt. So now I'm crying. I'm exhausted. And I go to my boyfriend at the time, and we were very country. He goes, why don't you just go get them chickens in the backyard and do something with them? They make you happy.
So he was the one who had the idea?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And is this Blake?
No.
Different boyfriend.
Different boyfriend.
Okay. Pre-Blake.
Pre-Blake. And I was like, that's probably a bad idea. But you know what? I have nothing else. So I go get Bruce Henner, Ellen DeGeneres, Chick Norris, Oprah Winfrey, get everybody, the whole crew. Shakira, they look alike. And get all my chickens. And I put them in this bathtub. And then I improv this bit like I'm curling Bruce Henner's hair. Was a hen, turned out to be a rooster. So we had to change the name to Bruce Henner. We thought it was funny. So I just improv this bit like I'm doing his hair. And Blake comes in,
boyfriend
comes in and he's like, what are you doing? And then I reveal the shower curtain. I pull it open and all my chickens are there. 19-second bit. I kind of thought it was funny. I turn it in and they're like, what the hell is this? I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry. All my footage is gone. I'm so sorry. But because I thought it was funny, I put it on my own page. I put it on Facebook and it did 19 million views overnight, grew me over 100,000 followers in 24 hours. And I hate that my back had to be against the wall for me to just be my damn self. Mm. So the moral of the story is find your damn chickens.
Amen. Let's go. Magic. Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki infused, and third-party lab tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, MicroFlow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com, use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order. Yeah. And show your face, because that's what you ended up doing, and leaning more into your authenticity, following your own gut, playing with the platforms and having fun.
Yeah, having fun.
Having fun.
Do you know how long it would have taken me promoting my music, this self-serving thing, and trying to be like everybody else to gain 100,000 followers in 24 hours? It would have taken forever.
Right.
To even just get to 100,000 followers in the first place. And then me just being myself with what I thought was funny, what I did normally on a normal day, was what resonated with so many people. And that's what really was the light bulb moment for me, that I can entertain on my own terms. And wow, videos are way faster than waiting for this corporate red tape and somebody else to give me the shot. I can go D2C and I can shoot 19 videos a day, shoot it, edit it, put it up. What's the response? Test, learn, adapt at scale, very, very quick. I was like, I'm all in on this. And it didn't pay me for 4 years.
But it's paying you now.
But it's paying us now. But that's like when you tell God that you're going to do something, you're like, okay, this was this big light bulb. I'm full of momentum and I have so much motivation right now. No other videos hit like that, where you're thinking, I just had a 19 million view hitter. I'm on a roll now and all these people know who I am. No, they don't. I did get recognized a lot from that video, but I could not just do it again. It's not that easy. It was 4 more years before the real hockey stick breakthrough happened. But I was skill gathering. God gave me what I needed at the time to give me that tool and give me the momentum and the vision. And then it was for me to do the work for the next 4 years with no immediate reward. And then when the timing hit in 2020 and the world is stuck on their phones and Facebook turned on monetization, hockey stick, and I was ready. I would not have been ready when I thought I was.
I want to talk about the hockey stick moment, because Viralish is you're doing content for you, for brands, for creators. You have really cracked the code on virality. Like, when I think of viral, I think of you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, not just as a business owner and like the agency, but you, like Adley. And you have created, you know, all of these different branches of your business in order to help people achieve that. But if you can, I know you talk about this all the time.
I love it.
But I know you do. You're so, then that's why it's working, because you can feel the love and the joy and the passion, because that's what creates that magnetism. You have like courses on this. Everyone wants to go viral. It's so true what you just said. Like, nothing really today that you can think of, like, unless like Oprah Winfrey features your book and you're on, like, nothing can create overnight success the way that a viral video can. And so what is the, I mean, girl, I'm trying out here every day, like asking for a friend, what is the real formula? I know it's obviously got to be based on your message, or does it have to be based on your message? Are we just following a formula? Like, crack down the code of virality while maintaining authenticity.
I can talk about algorithmic keys, and I can talk about how to put your magic in something.
You talk about both?
Both.
Yeah.
But really, I think we'll get to the algorithm in a minute.
Okay.
But really, if this was a whiteboard, it would have what your expertise is.
Yep.
What the market wants to hear, what they think is valuable, people's yep. response to that. And then there is your magic, your magnetism, your effortless ease, where like you just light up a room. What is that flow and how do we tap into that? And what we're searching for your brand, what to tap into that's going to work is right in the middle of all those three, where a lot of people get stuck and they're out here just making content that looks like everybody else. They're using the same captions and they're just doing the same talking head crap. Is they're talking about their expertise
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about stuff the market is valuable, but it's boring. Like it's not like you look like everybody else talking yes. about something important. It's all middle and bottom of the funnel. Where Viralish is excellent is at helping brands make themselves bigger than they are, extending relatability and going very wide with top of funnel. And that has a lot to do with this magic. Now you can also be talking about something and be creating content that you think is amazing and is magnetic. And it is featuring your expertise.
The market doesn't care. Right.
You think you're funny.
Yeah.
Nobody else yeah. does. You think this is a great bit, but the market is telling you they don't care. So it really is finding what's right in the middle there that's going to change everything for you. And it takes a lot of spaghetti on the wall to figure that out. But if you just stay in those first two categories, we're doing your expertise only, and surely people are saying they care about it. You're gonna get some traction, but it's gonna move slow and you're gonna stay small.
Yeah.
You wanna be Jessica, the girl who does this, and what is that bit that is likely what they're going to say about your top of funnel.
And do you think that like, because I know every platform is different and I kind of want to dig into the platforms with you, but like TikTok, for example, like you got to kind of find your shtick. And once you find your shtick, you just hit the shtick and you rinse and repeat. Like people become kind of known for the thing that they do
yes.
and it pops off.
Yes.
Instagram, I feel, is a little bit more like mosaic. Like you can kind of play around more. But do you feel like having that consistent sort of sweet spot that you create expectation with your audience that you're going to continue to show up and deliver is important?
I do.
You do.
What we're trying to help everybody find is their, what we call an SRS, a simple, repeatable, scalable system, where it is Adley, she's the girl who does all the videos with her funny videos with the chickens. Will, he's the guy who goes up and sings to pretty girls in the park.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is that thing? What's the log line to your social reality show?
Yeah.
And the algorithm's trying to figure you out too. So if you're talking about home goods in one video and raising Gatorade sheep in the next video, they don't know and nobody knows what you're doing, you know? So you kind of got to pick a lane a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just so the algorithm can categorize you. Otherwise, if you're trucking down here and then you're over here, it's not sending it to those people. It does work that way now more than it ever has, where every video is a hero video, because what the algorithm was doing in 2019 through mid 2023, we had to hack to get that discoverability.
You did.
We had the algorithm so dialed in, you could block every single one of our pages and our content would still find you. Now, the algorithm actually works like that, where it is all interest-based. It's not social media anymore. It is interest-based media. So you can play a little bit now outside of your box than you ever have before,
yes.
historically. So it is more based on interest, but the algorithm is still trying to figure out what you're doing. And to have a brand, which is what everybody's going after, is you're the person who does this. You're the viral association, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How are people describing you? You have to have some consistency there.
When it comes to being an expert in your space, building a brand, like you're saying, which I think we can do that now in a whole bunch of really fun and creative ways. It's kind of speaking to the very first piece of advice we talked about that you got, like no one cares about your brand, like just play and entertain. And I think people have become more savvy on the platform. But at the end of the day, I'm thinking about my audience and who's listening. And many of them are like female entrepreneurs that are building businesses that need to be seen as authorities and need to be seen as experts to a degree in order to grow their companies. And I was at a dinner. Do you know Julie Solomon? She's local to Nashville. She's a dear friend of mine. I was at dinner with her and Amy Porterfield and a bunch of amazing, amazing entrepreneurs. And we were all talking about Instagram. And she goes, Julie posed the questions at the table. She's like, I want everyone to go around and not talk about what you do on Instagram as a creator, but as a consumer. And we all had the same exact answer. One at a time, went around. I'm like, I send dumb videos to my husband about like French bulldogs and like 6 second memes to Alexa about like the horoscopes. Like it's dumb shit that just in the DMs sharing, laughing.
Everybody at the table was saying
every
that.
Every single person at the table said the same thing.
You hear that?
Yes. And we're all sitting around like, well, fuck. Like, how do we fit our big messages into these like 6-second vertical videos and crack the code and like meet the market without sacrificing the on-brand value that we're trying to bring to our audience? And is it more important? I guess it depends on your objective, but if growth is the objective, which I think is everybody's, mm-hmm. and exposure and reach, is your message less important and more the entertainment value of the video, but is the sweet spot to then just stay enough in your interest-based search bucket? Is this, am I onto something else? Is this what it's supposed to, because it's hard. At least, I mean, words are wands, as I say. It doesn't maybe have to be hard, but I have found it personally challenging and also a fun creative challenge, to be honest, to make this platform work for me because it has changed so much. So I don't really know what my question is, but you kind of get what I am asking.
Yes, because of course you're on Instagram to get your message out there.
Correct.
So you can't just throw that away and not pay attention to it at all. But you said if the goal is growth, and I think that's the right question, is what is the goal? If the goal is growth, we got to mix in more top of funnel. So recently I had a client and he's a business coach for fitness trainers. Pretty niche thing,
yeah.
Right? And he's posting 3 times a day. When he hired me, he goes, what's your most expensive package? I don't want that. And I'm like, I like this guy. He goes, I said, I don't take one-on-one clients. He goes, I will chew on glass and swallow it if you tell me to. I said, I like this guy.
Yeah, you can hire me. I like him too.
Done. And I can tell you've just got something that you're going to be big and I would like to actually be a small part of your story. So we worked together. I just, 1 call, 1 hour, 6 months. And he now, all of his leads come organically from Instagram. And now he's doing $1 million months, 4 of them back to back. Back to back to back.
Well, you got some ROI on that fucking investment.
Yes, he did.
Amazing.
But really the key of what we were mixing in for him was he was just doing one type of content and he was just kind of aggressively yelling at camera. He's like, if your content sucks, donkey balls. But that's what he was doing. He was just like yelling at camera. Well, that's not going to resonate with everybody. But he's one of the most dynamic individuals that I've ever met in my life. Like, he has an amazing relationship with his wife. He's hilarious. He's a genius business person. And I was like, why are we only showing one side of yourself that is going to cut other people off from access to you if they don't like that tonality? So you're doing all middle and bottom of the funnel content right now. Middle of the funnel being, this is where people, they already know you. Now you're just talking to your followers. They now just are testimonials and case studies and building trust and your message. And the bottom of the funnel is the conversion style content.
Yep, right. Got it.
He was just living in there, not showing how awesome of a human he was and all these other things and points of relatability in his life. So most of our work with him was more dynamic content. I want you to do more couple stuff with your wife because you guys are this person. You're in my kitchen running around chasing each other, pranking and poking each other. That is what people want to see. That is highly relatable, highly shareable. So now when I discover you, I now know of you, and because people can't buy from you if they don't know you exist. We have to get you up there
yes.
So they know you. And then do they like you? Because they like that relationship. There's a level of trust there. And then they're going to see your middle and bottom of the funnel posts. But for growth, we got to get more top of funnel content mixed in there.
What's the ratio of like growth, like top of funnel posts to mid funnel posts?
I would say if growth is the goal, 50% top of funnel.
50% top of funnel.
Yeah.
And are you following like trends or are you just kind of making up the videos like based on what's cool and organic and creative to this particular? Like, what is your thought on the trend game actually?
I think it's fine. If it's real to you and you're like, I would love to do that, babe. Can we please do that? Absolutely.
Go for it.
And with trial reels, holy grail.
Dude.
Holy grail. It is amazing. Just do it and see how it goes.
Dude.
And you don't have to post it.
I had a couple videos that have popped off and gone viral, millions. We posted it a couple days ago in trials. It has 300,000 views. I gained 1,000 followers in 2 days from doing nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's pretty, it's probably more now. It's been shared 4,000 times.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm like, somebody said that, like, just that's like the secret. Not everybody has trials, though, I've been told.
Update your app. Okay. At least it may not work for you. I don't know why it what would happen there and why it's not on certain profiles. But so far, everybody I've told that to, if they updated their app, they had.
We'll click into channels at large, but trials, like why did Instagram, what's their end game in rolling that out?
Remember when TikTok came out and they were just like, they weren't paying anybody anything and there was no shortage of supply.
Yep.
Everybody was making videos because there was so much reach to go around. They're giving reach to trial reels. They're incentivizing us to post more so they can have more ad slots at the end of the day.
There you go. And for those that are listening that don't know trial reels, it's basically repurposing you could try new content, but I think the best part about it is take the content that's worked on your own grid and you just republish it. It doesn't go on your grid. It doesn't go to your followers. It goes to completely new people.
It's great.
It's amazing.
Like all my podcast clips and stuff, my grid is very entertainer focused. So my podcast clips, I run ads with them or I tweak them, but I'll test them in trial reels. So my education side of Adley is getting out there, but it's not on my entertainer page, but it is bringing people back. And so it's great. Where previously I wouldn't have a place to post my podcast.
I'm going to copy that. Thanks for the tip.
Totally.
Okay. So let's talk about social at large, because I loved our dinner and you were like, you said something, I don't know if you remember this, but maybe you do. Social media for 2025 is going to be around transparency. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
And you kind of alluded to like, because I think authenticity, like we were saying, has always been the winner. Yeah. But it's like, to me, transparency is like a whole other layer.
Of authenticity. Authenticity you can put on.
Yes.
Like you can fake authenticity.
You can.
I've got a lot of friends who do it.
Uh-huh, me too. I see it all the time.
Like they give you just enough to make you think it's real, but they're really hiding the real stuff.
And so what's the distinction of transparency in your view? And how can we use it and show up with it on social?
How I think transparency is different than authenticity and how I think it can show up in your content is authenticity isn't saying, I'm going to redo my closet and this because I want to make it easy. I don't even know how you do that. But transparency, you could say, I'm going to redo my closet and here's how much it's going to cost me. I'm going to spend this on this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go after this brand deal. Like document what is actually happening in your life. Be transparent on what you're actually doing because people are going to learn something about your process of redesigning your closet. They're going to see how you think and they're going to be like, God, that's so smart. I should do that with mine. Oh, she's going to go after a brand deal for this. And she should. Mm-hmm. And how does that work? So you just documenting you doing life transparently is going to resonate. I wouldn't say that's authentic.
No, that's transparent.
I would say that's transparent.
Yes.
It's vulnerable.
Yes. But it creates trust. I think it creates relatability. It creates empowerment.
Yes.
For your audience. Like when you said that to me, it stayed with me and it's like an edge for me, to be honest. I think it's an edge for a lot of people,
if
they're willing to do it,
they won't be.
And those who do will win.
Yes, they will.
Is what you're saying.
Because if you feel fear right now, even thinking about transparently storytelling your life, that's good. That means you probably should. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable, but you know, I don't even have to tell you that's where the growth is. So if you're feeling that resistance to it, probably means you should do it.
I know I feel it. I know my audience feels it. Like social media is one part really exciting and really overwhelming. I mean, I was actually talking to Alexa this morning. Like I popped in a reel in Instagram 5 minutes. Like we took a little tiny shot. I came up with a caption. I put the thing together. Give me a trending song, Amelia. And it was like done. Now I have a team, but I can do my own editing of my own content really fast. Whereas like a couple years ago, it took me like 3 hours.
Do you outsource that or do you still do it?
Both. I have a team that does some of my reels and then I do a lot of my own content creation. I actually enjoy content creation. I think I'm pretty good at it. I have an instinct for it. I'm not like an ace at it. There's some real people who do it for a living, right? Like content creation is an industry and it's amazing. I've always been an entrepreneur who just happens to have an influential platform. Mm-hmm. And I kind of grew with the times and I was running a personal branding agency. So understood the power of organic social to like build thought leadership and all of it. So by being in it, by proxy, I got good at it. Yeah. But I definitely have my own room to grow. And I think,
we all do.
Yeah, well, this goes into a question I had for you because you have a team. I think what the question behind my question is, social media is super important. It's fucking phenomenal. I really have calibrated my relationship with it as someone that's been in it forever recently to like a true passion. And I'm just, it's the best place. But a lot of people struggle with it and feel very overwhelmed by it, mm-hmm. don't necessarily have the time for it in the same way that maybe some of us do, or support behind us to help us with it. And, you know, I'm here to really give women the keys with my show to build like beautiful, powerful brands without the burnout, right? Mm-hmm. So I would love to understand your kind of day in the life and like how you create. I know you have a team behind you, but like, are you hands on keyboard at all? And how would you advise women to maximize their time to make social media a central part of their business?
Sure. And if this gives you any comfort, I still do all my own stuff.
You do?
I'm just now hiring a team because my cadence has slowed down a lot, but I love it.
It's so much fun.
I love it. It's my favorite part.
100%.
And I've lately talked to my, over the last 2 years, like talked myself into a desk job because the business has done so well that I'm having to wear all these other hats. And the thing that I love that got me here is pushed to the wayside. But I tell you, the osmosis period, imagine being my content director. That's a hard job.
No shit.
You know, and that, like, I'm so picky.
Yeah.
And so I feel bad for John. He's doing great, but the osmosis period. And then there's like Mel, she's our head coach at Viralish and works with so many of our 7- and 8-figure businesses and 6-figure businesses. But she's been around me for 3 years, so she's helping shortcut that time. But none of building a team is easy.
No
way.
If you're
picky. If you're like, I just need volume and to get out there and I trust somebody.
Hey, sister, we have got to talk about one of the most powerful tools in my spiritual toolkit right now, okay? And that is Lotus Way. These are flower essences, liquid infusions of wildflowers that hold the energetic imprint of the flower's life force. And when I say that they instantly shift your state, I mean it. I've been using their elixirs, aura sprays, and essential oils every single day for over a year, and my entire nervous system has recalibrated. I am more grounded, more confident, more radiant, more effortless in magnetizing abundance with so much ease and feminine vibration. Now, you can go ahead and take their flower quiz, which is so much fun, at lotusway.com/JessicaZ and discover exactly what your system is calling for. My current faves right now, because I've used so many of them, but I'm really loving Divine Within for spiritual activation and connection to higher realms. Yep. Inner Peace to soften my edges, help with anxiety, and supports my sleep, and Expansive Presence, which has been a game changer for my confidence. Go to lotusway.com/JessicaZ or use code JessicaZ at checkout for 10% off. It's time to elevate your frequency, align with your true power, and let the flowers do their thing. Trust, sister, you're going to feel like the most feminine version of yourself.
Here's a great social media manager. Hire a great social media manager. If you don't aren't that picky and you just need a kick in the butt, then go that route.
Right, right.
And that's shooting.
And it's worth it.
Because there's no way when you're running a business that you can stop and break your focus on the main thing, that to do the supplementary thing. Like, yes, this is a non-negotiable. I think we're all on the same page that social media is not up for debate. Like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to be alive,
yes,
in 2 years from now.
Yes.
But I think you definitely got to batch shoot and then find something that is your whole goal is to find this SRS, the simple, repeatable, scalable thing. So my challenge to you is for the next 30 days, come up with like 5 different pillars, 5 different buckets. It could be green screen tutorials. It could be B-roll voiceover. It could be vlog. It could be motivational quote cards. Find 5 buckets, make 5 different videos in each of those 5 different buckets and post every day for the next 30 days. Do not be attached to the outcome. Don't delete anything and don't be attached to the outcome. Just have 25
30
videos.
30 days. Don't miss a day.
Do 25.
25. 5 days a week, Monday 30, through Friday.
Yeah, but do 5 buckets. You can do 6 if you want, but whatever, have data, have a plan. So say it's 5 in 5 different categories. Post and do not be attached to the outcome for 30 days. Then look at it and be like, wow, I hated doing buckets 2 and 3. Never want to do that again. Cool, we learned something. And wow, bucket 5, I thought I would hate and I loved. And it was working. And so was bucket 1, but I could tweak it like this. So now buckets 5 and 1, you're like, cool, if that's what we're going to do in month 2, let's just narrow down and get better at this bucket and this bucket. And then just look at it like data, make it a game and try really hard to not be attached to the outcome if you need that kick in the pants. Just start with a system and then just look at them as data sets and try to just look at yourself like a product.
That's masterclass, babe. Thanks for that. Yes, I noted. I know Alexis, my producer, helps me with everything. She's taking notes. She's taking captions for this podcast. Like, what are we going to title it? And then in another document, she's like, this is what we're talking about tomorrow at our content meeting. So all that to say, when it comes to the space, like YouTube, TikTok, X, Instagram, Meta, like, what are you the most excited about right now in the social space?
The one I'm not doing, which is YouTube long form.
YouTube and long form.
The two that I'm just starting to dip my feet into, we're excellent, is that short form discovery-based platforms. Like 99% of our views come from non-followers. We hit discover. That's what we were built on, is knowing how to do that really, really well. So we're great at shorter form. I mean, our birth was in these 3-minute long or longer videos that waste 3 minutes of your life. So sorry. I owe all of you an apology. That was our bread and butter.
What did you call those videos? You were like... Like there was a, you called it a chapter of your career that was like.
Is it cringe content?
Cringe content. Yes. Like, you cringe content.
If you've ever seen those videos that waste 3 minutes of your life, they compel you to watch and you're like, why am I still watching this? This has nothing to do with me, but I can't stop watching. 95% chance that came from me or somebody I coached or one of my peers.
And I'm sorry.
And I'm so sorry, kind of.
Sorry.
But I'm here now.
Not sorry.
To tell you exactly how we did it and how you can do it too. But it was I murdered my personal brand. Murdered it. Because I wanted to essentially to become a martyr for marketing. Like, I'm going to make everybody hate me for 2 years when I was generally well-liked before. Because I realized we know how to get anybody to watch anything. We can put CCTV cameras up there. We can make crazy food content, putting foods in toilets. Like, we can do all this different stuff.
Like, when you make Oreo pancakes and your engine on your tire of your driveway, something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever you did.
If we just follow what we call our billion view formula, it will work almost every time. Now, I'm never going to sit here and look you in the eyes and say, if you use this formula, you'll go viral every time. But it increased our batting average to 7 out of 10.
Wow.
And the execution is the other 50%. Like, that takes practice to get good at. But I mean, that was such a ride. And then I was like, okay, this chapter is closed. I feel so confident doing this in over 50 different niches now. We could storytell paint drying and make it go viral.
Yeah. And you're doing that for so many brands with your agency and your creators that you coach. Back to the long form YouTube. That's interesting to hear you say that as the girl that hung her hat on micro video content. What is so exciting about long form YouTube content to you?
Over 50, I think it's 52. 52% of people that are watching YouTube are watching on television. It's all streaming.
That's right. So
a bunch of people in the film industry, like big wigs in the film industry, are terrified right now. They're in my mentorship, my mastermind coaching program, because they know that what we're talking about is the future and how to get attention when people are standing in line at the bank and the kids tugging at them, what they're watching before bed. Even if they're streaming before bed, YouTube is all the younger generation is consuming, and most of them are consuming it on television. So for all of us in building our own community and actually having true influence, it's not in the hands of the celebrities anymore.
It's not
even in the hands of people at my size.
Right.
It's in the hands of people your size, most people's size.
Yeah.
So if you can build something that is entertaining, that is episodic, you are going to win. Come 2026.
Damn,
holy
girl.
Crap.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that
it's a long grind? So be in for it. But if you're in for it, episodic, longer bits.
It's not necessarily podcast content on YouTube, or is it? Because podcast is longer form, or is it like your own show vlog, longer form type of vibe?
Yeah, podcast works. And then YouTube's actually going to roll out a show format where you can take this longer form and have all your clips be. Episode.
Damn.
So maybe there's 8 episodes of this podcast and each one's 4 to 5 minutes. So you'd want to build in cliffhangers and things like that to get people to binge. But that's where it's going.
That's amazing. Wow. And you also said something about LinkedIn. You said you're not on it, but you're like, you mentioned that in the same breath.
It's my second week on it and we've hired somebody.
How's it going for you?
Good.
I love it over there.
Yeah.
I think
really good for lead generation and networking with people who can get business.
1,000%. And one of the things because we did a ton of work with LinkedIn, like proper, their headquarters in Chicago, we'd go to because my agency predominantly supported executives, right? Like CEOs, founders of companies, a lot of B2B spaces. Like that was actually my niche with Simply Be. And I learned so much from them. But they said that across all the platforms, LinkedIn is the most verified of all of the platforms that exist. So you can create a bot account easily on Instagram and LinkedIn and TikTok and Facebook. If you say you're the CEO of Miller Coors, for example, on LinkedIn, that's the fucking CEO of Miller Coors. Like it's the ratio of real humans that identify as their true background. Mm-hmm. You can go directly to them on LinkedIn in a really credible way. And a lot of the engagement that happens in the posting, like in comments, translates to real life relationships. Like people do come there to build business relationships and actually network. And to be a content creator over there is slim. Like most people aren't approaching LinkedIn. I mean, more and more they are. But you're like the third or fourth person I've heard this year that I really respect that's in the space that has said that LinkedIn is like the future. And some really big names are going over there that are kind of like done with Meta and wanting to like play a cleaner game a little bit on LinkedIn. I like the way that platform feels. It's for me, it's always been a little, because I'm like a boss babe, but I'm also really woo. Yeah. So sometimes I don't know how much to be myself on that platform, because I have this stigma that like my audience there is corporate.
Facts,
right, numbers. Exactly. A real like square white collar audience, not necessarily my like, you know, homies on and my sisterhood on Instagram. So I sometimes get a little paralyzed around LinkedIn personally, even though I use it and I work with it. I'm still trying to crack the code on the brand that needs to show up there.
Say you're doing 5 posts, try one woo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, woo light.
Yeah.
You just see how
woo light, L-I-T-E. Yeah.
My mom called and we went to Catholic school growing up and she goes, I said, are we Catholic? She goes, we're Catholic light. We get the discount.
I love that word. We get the discount.
We get the discount if we're Catholic.
That's one of my absolute favorite terms, L-I-T-E. It's used sparingly. Okay, so babe, this blew my mind. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. I'm having so much fun.
I'm having the most fun. Like, time just totally evaporated in the best way. I want to go back to one last question on virality, since that's your sauce, and then we're gonna bring it home with some quick fire questions that I can't wait to ask you, because I'm a witch, not a lesbian, but a Palladian witch. Okay, you're actually truly debatable. I take that. That was an incorrect. That was
wind it back.
Fake news.
Can we get a fact checker on this podcast, please?
Okay, I want to know you have this formula around virality. Like, thank you for the Venn diagram, the circles, and finding that sweet spot. We covered experimentation, like 5 days, 5 buckets. So good. Let's drill into the billion view mechanism of a beginning to middle to end video, if we can.
So for us, there's 6 elements of the billion view formula that, when they're combined, are incredibly powerful.
Okay.
And they're going to sound really basic, but each one of these that I say probably has 5 to 7 different elements in it that are deep dives. But I'll go over the skeleton. It's hook, duh. But here's the 5 different ways that we help you make a great hook, right? Then there's suspense. Suspense is the separator between good creators and the best creators in the world. Suspense. Then you have your payoff, which is, do people like you, hate you, going to unfollow you, going to share it with a friend? How did you make them feel? What's the relationship to you now? And that's determined generally in the payoff. And did you get them to the end? Money. Then we teach you how to raise the stakes. Stakes determine why people care, right? Take the series Taken, for example. If Liam Neeson was just trying to rescue his daughter's stuffed animal, would we watch? No. We watch because she was sex trafficked to the other side of the world. He had to find her in 3 days or less, or she died, and he had to kill 147 people in order to do it. Right?
Right.
Stakes are pretty high.
Yeah.
Stakes determine why people care. So how are we going to raise the stakes in your videos?
Wow.
And then we have engagement tactics of how we're going to encourage people who would never normally comment on a video, where they just they're compelled to speak their mind or share. How are we going to get them to engage with you? And then the element 6 is testing. And we split testing was our linchpin to success, where we did not miss. Now, this is so much easier to do with trial reels. So if you have a video you're really excited about, do three different versions of it, three different hooks, different lengths, throw them all on trial reels and let the best one win. That's the one you post. Now your page is going to get really hot because you don't miss.
Damn.
Yes.
Amazing.
So make different versions of every single video after you've used the formula to design it.
Okay, one last question. Thank you for that. Yeah. I'll go back, listen to that myself, takes more notes. You talked about hooks. I've heard you talk about this before, that hook, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not the first 3 seconds anymore. It's the first 0.3 seconds.
Pretty much.
It is. Yeah. Is there some sort of like way you think about, like, do you have some like go-to hooks maybe that you really rely on or that you can always like execute
not
successfully?
Go-to hooks. We have go-to frameworks. So your goal from this day forward, by the way, is to get 90% retention on your first 6 seconds. If you can get 90% retention on your first 6 seconds, you are going to be in the top 1% of content being served up to the algorithm.
Beautiful.
And that is very hard to do, but it's like my mom taught me in high school. If we set the standard here, when you fall and you only get 82% retention, you're still doing pretty great. But your job when you're creating content is anybody and their mom and their lizard, would they watch this for 6 seconds? Would you stop and be like, oh my gosh, I care about this. That means it can't be niched down, right? If you want to be discovered, if we're going for top of funnel, you cannot niche yourself off the bat right away. Or anybody who you're not talking to is going to scroll and you're just keeping yourself small versus what we say in the beginning of this. If you go wide, you are going to have more attention. More attention equals more leads, equals more sales. You know how many parenting videos will come across my feed? I'm not a parent, but they went wide enough with a highly relatable thing that it came across my feed. And what do? I send it to every parent that I know. So if you go wide, you never know how it's going to end up where it ends up, but it's the algorithm. It knows. So go wide more often.
Wow.
And so 90% retention on your first 6 seconds. And then the framework we use to accomplish that is something that we call the combo method, which is essentially combining two things that don't normally belong together that are going to create a sense of novelty, like a,
huh?
You know?
Interesting.
My husband's content, Blake.Kinsman, all he does is combine things that shouldn't go together. Or me, it may be taking a rack of ribs and putting it on the engine of a car. You're like, where is she going with that?
Yes.
Right? It could be, if you're doing a lot of talking head stuff, it could be pinning two different ideologies together.
Yep.
You know, Democrats versus Republicans. So people are going to see themselves in either side of it. You know, then here's the number one cause of 99% of cancers. You're never going to get cancer if you stop doing this one thing. That's everybody. If that wasn't everybody, your second sentence could be, and 94% of people are going to do it today. Now, we've pretty much got everybody.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to tell them what it is. Then you're going to say, well, the cause of cancer is the blah, 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 and it could start in your liver and then go there. And now we're still waiting.
The suspense.
Yes.
Right?
We're still waiting for what's the one thing? Is it peas? like is it granola?
Yeah.
You're just waiting, but you're explaining and raising the stakes of it to make sure it applies to everybody so they care so much more about sticking to the end for that payoff. Then you're going to have massive retention. You've raised the stakes and that aha becomes a lot bigger. So that first 6 seconds should set up a curiosity gap so big that you are not going to scratch until the last 3 seconds. First 3 seconds, create a curiosity gap and an itch so big. And do not scratch it until the last 3 to 10 seconds of your video. I don't care if it's a 30-minute video. Don't do it. Liam Neeson didn't rescue his daughter halfway through the movie. We would stop watching.
Correct.
Do not put your payoff in the middle of the video. It's at the end. Don't even allude to a micro payoff. You'll have a high scroll rate. Save it for the end.
I will never look at videos on social media the same.
Well, once you start seeing this, if you dive into any of our courses or our mastermind stuff, like we will indoctrinate. Will ruin content for you because you will start seeing the formula in every viral video. You're like, wow, that was an intentional engagement tactic. Wow, that was
but that's
how they
so
raise
good.
Mistakes.
I you freaking love it.
A student of how people
yes.
consume entertainment.
And it expands your aperture of like how to be a better marketer at the end of the day, yes. how to tell your message more creatively. I think it's so expansive actually yes. and stimulating and raises your intellect as much as your creativity because it's science and it's art.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The next 10 viral videos you watch, just as you're scrolling, I don't care if it's a cat video, analyze the next 10 videos that you see. If they have wide viewership and it's not just from a friend of yours, be like, why is this working? Why is this working? And you'll start to point out little things and chances are you're going to learn something that you could apply to your videos based on what stopped you.
So good. Okay. One last question. I could ask you so many questions.
I know.
6 seconds or less. What if the videos, do you recommend doing longer than 6 seconds, 7 seconds, 8 seconds?
Mix it all in. If it's a 6 second video and you held them for 6 seconds, congratulations. You have 100% attention.
Yeah,
right. Loop it and they'll watch again. Like put a little cliffhanger, get 3 watches for every one.
Got it.
But that's great.
Cool. Okay, Adley, I love you. Not in a lesbian way.
Damn.
And it's just like, I just love you so
much. The audience who thinks that I'm a lesbian, you're going to be so disappointed.
Oh, yeah, that's, we talked about that earlier. Well, we all know that you're a woman. So last few questions. I'm so just grateful for your time, your energy, your brilliance, like so uplifted and up-leveled every time I'm with you, girl.
Me too.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you for coming on. All right, I have a set of quick fire questions. They're witchy, they're woo. But you are a woman of God and faith.
I'm the thing.
Yeah.
Will you burn the thing? And
yeah, I got tons of sage. We'll cleanse us when we're done.
Your audience is going to be like, get this fool off the podcast.
No, not at all. They're going to appreciate this so much. I actually remember like when we had dinner, I was like talking about the chakras. And you were like, because I think I was talking about my feminine frequency business school and how you're like, I don't know what chakras are, but they
said chakra. I was like, do I have chakras?
Yeah. We're like this. I'm not. Your curiosity is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why buy a third eye? Everybody's talking about their third eye. I'm like, I had never gotten one. But I just learned so much when I'm around you. I'm from Oklahoma. I didn't have exposure, but I love learning from people who are different than me. I'm tired of being around people in my echo chamber.
Amen. It's so true. It's and vice versa. Yeah. And it's refreshing, to be honest, to be exposed to new perspectives. And you can take it or you can leave it. Some of it's going to work. Some of it's going to resonate. Some of it's not. Amen. But it's fun to sit outside of your own echo chamber, as you said, and learn and grow. Because that's really what it helps you do is grow. And that's the whole point of the human experience. So that being said, just a couple few questions. Do you have a favorite like spiritual teacher? An author or a virtual mentor or someone in your life?
Jesus.
Love it.
Jesus.
OG.
OG.
That is so true.
Yes, that really, I don't have a better answer. For me, it is Jesus.
So good. Do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I do. I always have. Even before it became like, the government said that they're real. We're like, well, yeah, sure. Now I actually don't. I believe it less because they said it.
You know, 1,000%. They're trying to cover it up because they don't want us to know.
But yeah, I do.
Scientifically impossible for it to not be true.
Really?
When we look up at the Milky Way, just take our own galaxy, for example, which is one galaxy within trillions of an ever infinite galaxy. Like the universe is infinite, but we're just going to take our one micro galaxy, okay, which has trillions and trillions of stars within it, okay, one galaxy. When we look up at the night sky, all we can see is the stars, right? They're bright, they're fire, they're gas, they're illuminating light years away. What we can't see are the planets rotating around those stars. There are more planets in the entire universe than there are stars. Science. So when we look up at the Milky Way, we see all of these fucking trillions of stars. We can't see the trillions upon trillions and trillions of planets that are circling them. Just like our solar system has a sun star with Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. We're called Pluto's kind of out. Yeah, but I still count Pluto. Pluto affects us in a big way. All this to say, planet Earth is in a Goldilocks zone, according to our sun star. Not too hot, not too cold, which is why life can exist here. And it is scientifically impossible for us as a planet to be the only Goldilocks planet in the entire fucking universe of infinite planets in an ever-expanding, endless, timeless universe. And the Palladians, back to, you know, now I'm interviewing myself talking about my beliefs, are like, those are species that come from the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
And there's a handful of star systems, star constellations that have different beings and extraterrestrial families that all represent different, frankly, like personalities and dogmas and philosophies and gifts that have, I believe, because they're more advanced societies and civilizations, understand, like, and Earth is behind it, understand Earth is here. We don't know really what they're all about in totality because they're older. They've been around for eons longer.
Yeah.
In layman's terms, but I do believe that because they're aware of Earth, They've been here before. They've seeded this planet. We are, to some degree, hybrids of humanoids and extraterrestrials that have evolved over time in this 3D Earth plane as human beings, but we have codes, DNA, imprints of a lineage beyond our own ancestry and our human lineage. And that is something that I learned a long time ago about myself. When I worked with a healer, she identified me as Pleiadian after doing a reading. I had never heard of the Pleiadian. I was like, the Pleiadia fucking who's? Like, yeah. Foreign language. But there was something in that moment when she shared that with me that felt so true. Mm. And then I went deep because I'm like a nerd and I like to research and read and go down the rabbit holes. And everything I was reading was like, this is me. Like, this describes how I think, why I think I'm here, what I care about, what I've always known to be true, but could never articulate. Like, and so for me, like, it's not about aliens. It's about, like, a higher consciousness, because these extraterrestrial star families in our system are really here for humanity's upliftment mm-hmm. and empowerment. And our remembrance of our quantum nature, that we can create anything we fucking want. Like you have, like I have, right? Like how we empower our communities to do it. So it just, it makes so much sense to me. It doesn't seem weird. It's not about like, I want to communicate with UFOs. It's nothing, I don't even think about it. It's like the essence of light.
Yeah.
Like we are made of light. We came here for light. We came here for love. We came here for harmony. We came here for a beautiful collective experience as human beings. And we have been conditioned to forget that. We've been conditioned to think that we're separate. And it's just not how I've ever thought.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a validation. Thank you for my...
Reach on, girl.
Thank you. My diatribe. Actually, this will lead me to a beautiful segue to my next question, my last question for you. Okay. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new Earth?
I've always felt a little bit guilty for this success. You know, because there's a lot of people who work really, really hard. And it's like, why me? Why was I chosen? But I know why. Like, that's my human answer of just this guilt that I don't think I'm supposed to feel. And I think if you're trusted with little, if God, the universe, trusts you with little and sees that you take care of it and you foster it and you're a multiplier of it, and you're a river and not a reservoir, you're not operating from scarcity, and you let every good thing that comes to you flow right through, I think you are blessed with more. At least that's been true in my life. And I think it's been true in yours. Not saying that you don't go through hell sometimes.
Absolutely.
You need to.
Yeah.
But I take it so seriously. I don't take myself very seriously, but I take what I do very seriously. Very, very seriously. So being a co-creator of the planet, of our universe, of our children, where things are going, I take it very, very seriously. We have such limited time here, and we can make such massive impact that I'm very protective of time because that's all we got, you know? And I think you operate the same way. And most high achievers, it's not that we feel like we're self-important. Someone asked me that once, like, you take this all so seriously. It's this level of self-importance. I said, I'm sorry it's been perceived that way. I don't think I'm important at all. I don't think God needs me. But I'm happy to be here, and I feel honored to be here and to have the gifts that I do. And my job is just to be a vessel and to be a servant and to be a river and not a reservoir. And let every blessing that I have, for me to find a way to extract it, turn it into knowledge that I can pay it forward somehow. What good is any of our knowledge if we're not paying it forward to somebody? I think it's only as good as the people we pay it forward to. You know,
that's right.
What good is sailing off on the sunset with all this stuff you figured out and not helping anybody with it? Like, there's amazing people in my life who taught me something at a very young age and gave me something to look up to. They have no idea the way that I think about them now if they've passed. But I'm like, you changed me in such an irreparable way that now I am causing a ripple effect and helping millions of people because of your small influence that you don't even remember. And we are all walking influencers, whether we're influencing 5 people or 5 million. So I take that very, very seriously, that everybody has an audience and everybody is an influencer.
Girl, you are such a sister to me, girl.
I love you
so much. Like, truly, couldn't even, I'm speechless. Truly.
I needed that reminder myself. Like, I'm talking to myself, too. And
but
all
we're so the same frequency. You know what I mean? Like, we have such a golden thread. Like, the way you and I.
I'm a plebeian. I want to go find out. How do I learn?
I'll help you.
Okay. All right.
I love you. Thank you for being on my show.
I'm honored.
This was bananas good.
And I can't wait.
I just thank you. And we're all just so illuminated, uplifted, and lit after being in Adley's presence.
Thank you, sister. Love you guys.
Love you, too.